praise the three in one.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The lepers aren't healed yet when they make their way back to the priests. It's on the way that they are cleansed. But when they start out, they're as leprous as they were before. They believe, in other words, before they see it. And they obey Jesus. Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priest. They obey Jesus at great risk to themselves. Because if they get to the priests and they make this long journey and they're still leprous, the priest will reject them, maybe even laugh at them, tell them, go back where you came from. And instead of what they hoped for, they will be even worse off. They'll be more miserable than before. So faith believes before it sees, and it risks shame and pain for what it knows will be. Because Jesus is true, Jesus is faithful, Jesus will not fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus' promise, his word, to have mercy on us will never pass away. God is man, man to deliver. His dear Son now is one with our blood forever. That's the surety. Faith obeys Jesus, not because it sees the results immediately, but because it knows who speaks the word. So Jesus tells you that's his body, that's his blood, and that whoever eats of it and drinks of it will never perish. Death will have no power over him. So it doesn't matter if your eyes see bread and wine. It doesn't matter if you still feel your sin and its corruption in your own body. Jesus says it. It's true. Faith believes Jesus based on Jesus, on his reliability, on the fact that he is the creator who has joined our human race. And so he not only has all power, but he is for us. He is one of us. He has borne our sin. He has suffered our pains. He has died our death. He has ended its power in his resurrection. He speaks, we listen, even if our lying senses see and feel the opposite. Let's go back to those lepers. Those lepers felt every bit the pain and the filth of their horrible condition as they began their journey to the priests. Think of that. They saw with their own eyes their fingers literally falling off and the cartilage rotting off the noses of their friends so that they could literally see into their heads, into their skulls. And yet they're happy. They're gleeful. They're running to the priests despite everything their senses tell them. And that is faith. You will walk away from this divine service today, still feeling the pain of your body and the sin in your heart, but walk away happy, walk away gleeful and ready to obey what Jesus tells you to do in your callings as fathers, as mothers, as children, as brothers, as sisters, as neighbors, as teachers, as workers, because what Jesus says is true. You've heard him speak your forgiveness already today. Your everlasting life with God, your inheritance as sons of light, you will take his body and his blood, and so you are one with him and have passed from death to life. Now, this is consistently the picture of faith. It's what Naaman the Syrian, who's another leper, had to do too. You remember that Naaman the Syrian was angry when Elisha, God's prophet, told him to go wash in the Jordan 7 times and his leprosy would be cured. This was an embarrassing thing for him. It seemed very dumb. Why would washing in the dirty Jordan do anything for him? Why obey? Because God said it, that's why. But it doesn't make sense. Well, it will. Wait for it. So when Naaman finally let that sink in, he obeyed. He washed in the Jordan and his skin was pure as a baby's. He believed before he saw. So Jesus tells us that whoever would be his disciple, a follower of him, must take up his cross and follow him. Because these two things are true at the very same time. On the one hand, we are already now conquerors over death and sin. We are pure. We are declared righteous. We are innocent. We are children of God. We are therefore rulers with our Lord Jesus over heaven and earth. We will judge angels. And yet at the same time, we endure the pains of the body, the temptations of the devil, the ridicule of the world, and the sins of weakness that we daily commit. And so we live by faith and not by sight. Jesus sets these lepers in front of us as models, through and through, of Christian faith. The disciples had just asked Jesus, right before this, they'd asked, increase our faith. And then this happens. The 10 lepers come. And Jesus, who controls history, controls everything that's going on, shows them in these 10 lepers what faith is, what faith does. And so he increases their faith and he increases ours. So first off, faith hears. How on earth, think of this, how on earth did these lepers hear about Jesus? Jesus had explicitly told his disciples not to preach in any town in Samaria, and here he is in Samaria. How did these people in Samaria hear? And besides that, these men are lepers. They can't be anywhere near society. If anyone comes near them, they have to yell out, unclean, unclean, get away. That's the law. Even when they come to Jesus, they stand afar off. But yet they know Jesus' word. They know his name already. And they know he has power to heal them and that he wants to do it. How is this? Well, we can only assume that one of the lepers, before he was a leper, heard Jesus, heard him say words like, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then when he becomes a leper and is cast out from society, he tells his new friends, his other lepers, about Jesus. So he says, there's a man whom I've seen heal people, a man who promises mercy to the poor, to the weak, to the weary and heavy laden, people like us. And then without seeing Jesus, without hearing him speak, without seeing any miracle, these lepers believe. So we, if we want an increase of faith, first and foremost, hear the word. It is an amazing act of God that it has come down to us, that we have Bibles in our homes, that we have a church here in Casper, Wyoming. God did wonderful things, amazing things. He overturned kingdoms. Christians did beautiful things. They died to preserve the preaching of this word so that it would come down pure and undefiled to us. So don't take it for granted that you have it in your Bible at home, that you can literally read the words of Jesus to you every single day, or that God has specifically instituted his holy Christian church, and that he sends pastors and makes sure his word reaches you here. He's moved mountains to do that. And those lepers, they did not take it for granted that they got to hear this word. They trusted in nothing else but that word, and they ran. They literally ran to where they could hear it, where Jesus was. So that's first. Hear the word of God. Don't ever take it for granted. But how many thousands heard and didn't care? Then, just like today, people hear it. And it might mean something to them at one point, but then it means nothing to them in their regular life. Even people in church. It's boring. What does it matter? Let's get through this. I'd rather be fishing or sleeping or watching a sports ball game. But these lepers cared. It was everything to them. Why? Well, this is, again, the essence of faith, the essence of Christian faith. It was obvious to them why they should care. They were miserable. They were lonely. They were forsaken. They were in pain. And it was obvious that only one man could help them. And so they put all of their trust in him. So if you want an increase in faith, then know your need. And it doesn't matter if that need is bodily or if it's spiritual. The distinction is fine. There is a distinction, but there is no separation of your bodily need and your spiritual need. Now, usually what we stress here in church and what the Bible stresses is your need for Jesus because you're a sin, because you're a sinner. You're a sinner, you've sinned, God is angry at that sin, he's bound by his own justice to punish that sin, and so you need forgiveness. You need Jesus to take that sin away. But you notice in our gospel, there's no talk of sin with the lepers. Not explicitly, at least. They're lepers. That's the problem. That's their problem. They're in pain. They're ostracized. They're banished from society. They're lonely. They're ugly. They're miserable. They are exactly as Jesus described, weary and heavy laden, and they desperately need rest. And Jesus promised. Jesus promises you rest. And it doesn't matter if you are especially wearied by your failing body or by your sinful soul. Because in the end, it all comes from sin. And Jesus is the Savior from sin. And the Bible makes this very clear, especially when it comes to leprosy, actually. So leprosy is a disease of the body, obviously. It makes people miserable and ugly in the body. But God, throughout the Bible, regularly imposes it as a punishment for sin. And he's teaching us something here. So Miriam is Moses' sister. And when she opposes Moses and says that she can be a pastor too, God punishes her by giving her leprosy. And Elisha's servant, Gehazi, when he lies and he steals money from Naaman the Syrian, God punishes him with leprosy. When King Uzziah defies God's pastors and offers incense in the temple without permission, that'd be like one of you saying, hey, I can do this, pastor, and pushing me out of the way and administering the Lord's Supper. Well, what does God do to him? He strikes him with leprosy. So sin and leprosy in the Bible are everywhere connected. The pain of the body, and this applies to all of us, the pain on the body comes on us because we are sinners. That is the point. Not that every pain or every problem that you have is exactly the punishment for this or that sin. Not that. But the body's corruption and death happen because we are sinners. And so when you are weary and heavy laden because of anything, loneliness, because of sickness, because of old age, because of not making enough money, whatever it is, realize this is because you are a sinner. Adam and Eve didn't have these problems. You won't have them in the resurrection. They are the result of sin. And Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. So recognize your need. And come to Jesus who suffered in his body. God took on a body. He has a body. And he suffered in his body the corruption and disease of all of your sin. This is the God who was made lonely and forsaken on the cross, who was robbed of all of his possessions and stripped naked and made the poorest of the poor. And see that he takes away guilt and shame and sin because he cares for you completely. For your body and for your soul. Faith finally endures to the end. It doesn't get what it wants from Jesus and then move on to other things, the fun of life. 9 lepers didn't come back. It's not that they went to the priests and then came back, but by that time Jesus was gone, but they really wanted to thank him. No, they never came back. They went instead to their jobs, their families, their social life, their sports ball. And now that life was good, now that they had no need, they left Jesus behind. They are the examples of so many who start out in the Christian church, but then get caught up in the pleasures of this world as if they could enjoy any of the pleasures without the grace and love of their Savior and their Creator. This is why Jesus says to us so many times, many are called, but few are chosen. And that actually is one of the greatest challenges to Christian faith. to its enduring to the end, that so many don't stay the course. Because we are social creatures. That's why it's so important for us to be around other Christians. We are social creatures. Those nine lepers were his friends. He had been with those nine lepers for who knows how many years. And they go their own way. And he has to turn back alone. And so you have this mystery. He saved from loneliness, and yet the faithful way is the lonely way. It is exactly what the disciples see after the feeding of the 5,000, when most of the other disciples go away. They're disappointed in Jesus. They're offended by Jesus' words. And Jesus says to them, now that they're alone, will you go also? Will you go with the crowd? Will you go with the many? And Peter answers for all, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Faith endures to the end because it never relies on outward appearances. It relies on Jesus and Jesus alone. He remains the power. He remains the strength of faith, even after he has made you whole, even after you feel refreshed and satisfied and strong. He is your strength. He is your life. He says it, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. That's at the beginning of faith, the beginning of your life. It's at the middle, it's at the end, it's all the time. He is your life. Now the others leave Jesus behind, but don't look at them. Look instead at Jesus. Here are the facts. There were 10 lepers, and it was Jesus. Look at him. It was Jesus who healed them all. His is the power. His is the love. His is the mercy on all of them. He cared for all of them. And here are the facts. There were 5,000 men, plus women and children, and it was Jesus who fed every single one of them and satisfied them because he pitied his creation, and he wanted to provide for them. He loved them all. That's Jesus. So don't look at them as they turn away, and then follow them. Look at him. Look at his love, which does not fail. They all may forsake Jesus, but faith clings to what Jesus has done and sees that he is still calling you, and he's calling everyone because he is the God who heals 10 lepers, even though only one remains faithful. He is the creator who feeds the thousands, even though only a few stay with him. He is the savior who laid down his life for all the world, poured out his blood, became the sacrifice for all man's sin, and reconciled the world to himself, even though so many still turn away. The disciples asked, increase our faith, and Jesus did increase it. And he increased it not by telling them to believe harder, to search in themselves and find the strength and the power. He increased it the way he increases yours. He showed them his power. He showed them his mercy. He showed them his love for every single sinner, his beautiful willingness to receive them, to relieve them of every misery of body and soul, his happiness and his joy to see even one man out of 10 come back and give him thanks. And so we pray, increase our faith, dear Savior, and he shows us his power. He shows us his mercy. He shows us his love for us in the body that suffered our death and now gives us life, in the blood that was shed in agony to give us pure joy because he loves us, in his promise that he will never leave us or forsake us, but will take us to be where he reigns forever, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, blessed forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.